This is a LibriVox recording. All LibriVox recordings are in the public domain. For more information, and to volunteer, please visit LibriVox.org. The Devil's Dictionary by Ambrose Bierce. The letters N and O. The letter N. Nectar, noun. A drink served at banquets of the Olympian deities. The secret of its preparation is lost, but the modern Kentuckians believe that they come pretty near to a knowledge of its chief ingredient. Juno drank a cup of nectar, but the draught did not affect her. Juno drank a cup of rye, then she bade herself goodbye. By J. G. Negro, noun. The pièce de résistance in the American political problem. Representing him by the letter N, the Republicans begin to build their equation thus. Let N equal the white man. This, however, appears to give an unsatisfactory solution. Neighbor, noun. One whom we are commanded to love as ourselves, and who does all he knows how to make us disobedient. Nepotism, noun. Appointing your grandmother to office for the good of the party. Newtonian, adjective. Pertaining to a philosophy of the universe invented by Newton, who discovered that an apple will fall to the ground, but was unable to say why. His successors and disciples have advanced so far as to be able to say when. Nihilist, noun. A Russian who denies the existence of anything but Tolstoy. The leader of the school is Tolstoy. Nirvana, noun. In the Buddhist religion, a state of pleasurable annihilation awarded to the wise, particularly to those wise enough to understand it. Nobleman, noun. Nature's provision for wealthy American minds ambitious to incur social distinction and suffer high life. Noise, noun. A stench in the ear, undomesticated music, the chief product and authenticating sign of civilization. Nominate, verb, to designate for the heaviest political assessment, to put forward a suitable person to incur the mud-gobbling and dead-catting of the opposition. Nominee, noun. A modest gentleman, shrinking from the distinction of private life, and diligently seeking the honourable obscurity of public office. Non-combatant, noun. A dead Quaker. Nonsense, noun. The objections that are urged against this excellent dictionary. Nose. Noun. The extreme outpost of the face. From the circumstance that great conquerors have great noses, Gettius, whose writings antedate the age of humour, calls the nose the organ of quell. It has been observed that one's nose is never so happy as when thrust into the affairs of others, from which some physiologists have drawn the inference that the nose is devoid of the sense of smell. There's a man with a nose, and wherever he goes, the people run from him and shout, "No cotton have we, for our ears, if so be, he blows that interminous snout." So the lawyers applied for injunction. "Denied," said the judge. The defendant prefixion, whate'er it portend, appears to transcend the bounds of this court's jurisdiction. by Arpad Singhini. Notoriety, noun. The fame of one's competitor for public honours. The kind of renown most accessible and acceptable to mediocrity. A Jacob's ladder leading to the vaudeville stage, with angels ascending and descending. Noumenon, noun. That which exists, as distinguished from that which merely seems to exist, the latter being a phenomenon. The noumenon is a bit difficult to locate. It can be apprehended only by a process of reasoning, which is a phenomenon. Nevertheless, the discovery and exposition of noumena offer a rich field for what Lewes calls the endless variety and excitement of philosophical thought. Hurrah, therefore, for the noumenon! Novel, noun. A short story padded. A species of composition bearing the same relation to literature that the panorama bears to art. As it is too long to be read at a sitting, the impressions made by its successive parts are successively effaced, as in the panorama. Unity, totality of effect, is impossible, for besides the few pages last read, all that is carried in mind is the mere plot of what has gone before. To the romance, the novel is what photography is to painting. Its distinguishing principle, probability, corresponds to the literal actuality of the photograph, and puts it distinctly into the category of reporting, whereas the free wing of the romancer enables him to mount to such altitudes of imagination as he may be fitted to attain, and the first three essentials of the literary art are imagination, imagination, and imagination. The art of writing novels, such as it was, is long dead everywhere except in Russia, where it is new. Peace to its ashes, some of which have a large sale. November, noun. The 11th, 12th of a weariness. The letter O. Oath, noun. In law, a solemn appeal to the deity, made binding upon the conscience by a penalty for perjury. Oblivion, noun. The state or condition in which the wicked cease from struggling and the dreary are at rest. Fame's eternal dumping ground, cold storage for high hopes. A place where ambitious authors meet their works without pride and their betters without envy. A dormitory without an alarm clock. Observatory, noun. A place where astronomers conjecture away the guesses of their predecessors. Obsessed, past participle. Vexed by an evil spirit, like the Gadarene swine and other critics. Obsession was once more common than it is now. Erastus tells of a peasant who was occupied by a different devil for every day in the week, and on Sundays by two. They were frequently seen, always walking in his shadow when he had one, but were finally driven away by the village notary, a holy man. But they took the peasant with them, for he vanished utterly. A devil thrown out of a woman by the Archbishop of Rheims ran through the trees, pursued by 100 persons, until the open country was reached, where by a leap higher than a church spire he escaped into a bird. A chaplain in Cromwell's army exorcised a soldier's obsessing devil by throwing the soldier into the water when the devil came to the surface. The soldier, unfortunately, did not. Obsolete, adjective, no longer used by the timid, said chiefly of words. A word which some lexicographer has marked obsolete is ever thereafter an object of dread and loathing to the fool writer, but if it is a good word, and has no exact modern equivalent equally good, it is good enough for the good writer. Indeed, a writer's attitude toward obsolete words is as true a measure of his literary ability as anything except the character of his work. A dictionary of obsolete and obsolescent words would not only be singularly rich in strong and sweet parts of speech, it would add large possessions of the vocabulary of every competent writer who might not happen to be a competent reader. Obstinate, adjective. Inaccessible to the truth, as it is manifest in the splendour and stress of our advocacy. The popular type and exponent of obstinacy is the mule, a most intelligent animal. Occasional, adjective, afflicting us with greater or less frequency. That, however, is not the sense in which the word is used in the phrase occasional verses, which are verses written for an occasion, such as an anniversary, a celebration, or other event. True, they afflict us a little worse than other sorts of verse, but their name has no reference to irregular recurrence. Occident, noun. The part of the world lying west or east of the Orient. It is largely inhabited by Christians, a powerful sub-tribe of the hypocrites, whose principal industries are murder and cheating, which they are pleased to call war and commerce. These also are the principal industry of the Orient. Ocean, noun. A body of water occupying about two-thirds of a world made for man, who has no gills. Offensive, adjective, generating disagreeable emotions or sensations, as the advance of an army against its enemy. Were the enemy's tactics offensive? The king asked.
I should say so, replied the unsuccessful general. The blackguard wouldn't come out of his works.
Old, adjective, in that stage of usefulness which is not inconsistent with general inefficiency, as an old man. Discredited by lapse of time and offensive to the popular taste, as an old book.
Old books? The devil take them, Goby said. Fresh every day must be my books and bread.
Nature herself approves the Goby rule, and gives us every moment a fresh fool. By Harley Shum. Oleaginous, adjective. Oily, smooth, sleek. Disraeli once described the manner of Bishop Wilberforce as unctuous, oleaginous, saponaceous, and the good prelate was ever afterwards known as Soapy Sam. For every man there is something in the vocabulary that would stick to him like a second skin. His enemies have only to find it.
Olympian, adjective. Relating to a mountain in Thessaly, once inhabited by gods, now a repository of yellowing newspapers, beer bottles, and mutilated sardine cans, attesting the presence of the tourist and his appetite.
His name the smirking tourist scrawls upon Minerva's temple walls, where thundered once Olympian Zeus, and marks his appetite's abuse. By Avril Droop.
Omen, noun, a sign that something will happen if nothing happens.
Once, adverb, enough.
Opera, noun, a play representing life in another world, whose inhabitants have no speech but song, no motions but gestures, and no postures but attitudes. All acting is simulation, and the word simulation is from simia, an ape. But in opera, the actor takes for his model simia audibilis, or Pithecanthropus stentor, the ape that howls. The actor apes a man, at least in shape. The opera performer apes an ape. Opiate, noun. An unlocked door in the prison of identity. It leads into the jail yard. Opportunity, noun. A favourable occasion for grasping a disappointment. Oppose, verb. To assist with obstructions and objections. How lonely he who thinks to vex with badinage the solemn sex. Of levity, mere man, beware. None but the grave deserve the unfair. By Percy P. Ormonde. Opposition, noun. In politics, the party that prevents the government from running amuck by hamstringing it. The king of Gargaru, who had been abroad to study the science of government, appointed 100 of his fattest subjects as members of a parliament to make laws for the collection of revenue. 40 of these he named the party of opposition, and had his prime minister carefully instruct them in their duty of opposing every royal measure. Nevertheless, the first one that was submitted passed unanimously. Greatly displeased, the king vetoed it, informing the opposition that if they did that again, they would pay for their obstinacy with their heads. The entire 40 promptly disemboweled themselves. "What shall we do now?" the king asked. "Liberal institutions cannot be maintained without a party of opposition." "Splendour of the universe," replied the prime minister. "It is true these dogs of darkness have no longer their credentials, but all is not lost. Leave the matter to this worm of the dust." So the minister had the bodies of His Majesty's opposition embalmed and stuffed with straw, put back into the seats of power, and nailed there. 40 votes were recorded against every bill, and the nation prospered. But one day a bill imposing a tax on warts was defeated. The members of the government party had not been nailed to their seats. This so enraged the king that the prime minister was put to death. The parliament was dissolved with a battery of artillery, and the government of the people, by the people, for the people, perished from Gargaru. Optimism, noun. The doctrine or belief that everything is beautiful, including what is ugly, everything good, especially the bad, and everything right that is wrong. It is held with greatest tenacity by those most accustomed to the mischance of falling into adversity, and is most acceptably expounded with a grin that apes a smile. Being a blind faith, it is inaccessible to the light of disproof, an intellectual disorder yielding to no treatment but death. It is hereditary, but fortunately not contagious. Optimist, noun. A proponent of the doctrine that black is white. A pessimist applied to God for relief. "Ah, you wish me to restore your hope and cheerfulness," said God. "No," replied the petitioner, "I wish you to create something that would justify them." "The world is all created," said God, "but you have overlooked something, the mortality of the optimist." Oratory, noun. A conspiracy between speech and action to cheat the understanding. A tyranny tempered by stenography. Orphan, noun. A living person whom death has deprived of the power of filial ingratitude, a privation appealing with a particular eloquence to all that is sympathetic in human nature. When young, the orphan is commonly sent to an asylum, where by careful cultivation of its rudimentary sense of locality, it is taught to know its place. It is then instructed in the arts of dependence and servitude, and eventually turned loose to prey upon the world as a bootblack or scullery maid. Orthodox, noun, an ox wearing the popular religious joke. Orthography, noun, the science of spelling by the eye instead of the ear, advocated with more heat than light by the outmates of every asylum for the insane. They have had to concede a few things since the time of Chaucer, but are nonetheless hot in defence of those to be conceded hereafter. A spelling reformer indicted, for fudge was before the court cited. The judge said, enough, his candle will snuff, and his sepulchre shall not be whited. Ostrich, noun, a large bird to which, for its sins doubtless, nature has denied that hinder toe, in which so many pious naturalists have seen a conspicuous evidence of design. The absence of a good working pair of wings is no defect, for, as has been ingeniously pointed out, the ostrich does not fly. Otherwise, adverb, no better. Outcome, noun, a particular type of disappointment, by the kind of intelligence that sees in an exception of proof of the rule, the wisdom of an act is judged by the outcome, the result. This is immortal nonsense. The wisdom of an act is to be judged by the light that the doer had when he performed it. Outdo, transitive verb, to make an enemy. Out of doors, noun, the part of one's environment upon which no government has been able to collect taxes, chiefly useful to inspire poets. I climbed to the top of a mountain one day to see the sun setting in glory, and I thought, as I looked at his vanishing ray, of a splendidly splendid story. 'Twas about an old man and the ass he bestrode, till the strength of the beast was o'ertested. Then the man would carry him miles on the road, till Neddy was pretty well rested. The moon rising solemnly over the crest of the hills to the east of my station, displayed her broad disk to the darkening west, like a visible new creation. And I thought of a joke, and I laughed till I cried, of an idle young woman who tarried about a church door for a look at the bride, though 'twas herself that was married. To poets all nature is pregnant with grand ideas, with thought and emotion. I pity the dunces who don't understand the speech of earth, heaven, and ocean. By Stromboli Smith. Ovation, noun. In ancient Rome, a definite formal pageant in honour of one who had been disserviceable to the enemies of the nation. A lesser triumph. In modern English, the word is improperly used to signify any loose and spontaneous expression of popular homage to the hero of the hour and place. "I had an ovation," the actor man said, "but I thought it uncommonly queer that people and critics by him had been led by the ear." The Latin lexicon makes his absurd assertion as plain as a peg. In ovum we find the true root of the word. It means egg. By Dudley Spink. Overeat, verb, to dine. Hail, gastronome, apostle of excess, well skilled to overeat without distress. Thy great invention, the unfatal feast, shows man's superiority to beast. By John Boop. Overwork, noun, a dangerous disorder affecting high public functionaries who want to go fishing. O, verb, to have, and to hold, a debt. The word formerly signified not indebtedness, but possession. It meant own, and in the minds of debtors there is still a great deal of confusion between assets and liabilities. Oyster, noun, a slimy globby shellfish which civilization gives men the hardihood to eat without removing its entrails. The shells are sometimes given to the poor. End of the letters N and O. Read by Gesine in Valletta, March 2006.